In our liturgy of the word today, we see that the Messiah is here, that the Lord has come and visited his people, and also that the Lord invites us to an impersonal encounter with him and to a spontaneous attraction towards him. That if we can have this personal encounter, that can change our lives when we hear the word of God. The miracles of Jesus are signs that suggest the messianic times have already arrived in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Particularly in the Gospel of Mark, beginning right away in the very first chapter, Jesus goes about liberating people from all types of ailments as a sign that the times proclaimed by the prophets have already arrived. In the first reading today, Isaiah prophesies about those times, saying, "Look, your God is coming. He is coming to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unsealed. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb shall sing for joy." And the reaction of the people in terms of amazement and wonders to the works of Jesus confirms the fulfillment of this prophecy. He has done all things well. However, that exuberant mass reaction is not sufficient. It's not what Jesus is looking for. It's not sufficient for salvation. It's not the most authentic manner of reacting to the messianic times. The deaf man in the gospel text today, brought to Jesus by the crowd, seeing him being taken aside by Jesus away from the multitude, that Jesus is demonstrating here that an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with God, is a private experience, even though it's often mediated by a community. That we come to know Jesus privately, even being in the context of the church, the body of Christ. And in this case, we can see what an intimate encounter it is. That Jesus goes and puts his fingers into the man's ears and touching his tongue with spittle. The spittle is a bodily fluid that carries about the identity of the person. And so this man who has this speech impediment, who cannot hear, Jesus goes and shares something of his own identity with that man. And Jesus goes and says, "Ephatha, be opened." And the body language that Jesus has there, looking up to heaven, groaning, saying "Ephatha," suggests an act of liberation. That Jesus is offering this up to the Father, taking on the suffering of the man. And this is what he goes and does for all of us with our sins on the cross. But then he goes and forbids the man to speak about it, to keep it a secret. And why is Jesus wanting this to be a secret? That out of compassion for wounded humanity, Jesus performs acts of healing expected of the Messiah. But he doesn't want the crowds to conclude that he is the Messiah from such acts, that his identity must be kept secret for a time, that it's only revealed in conjunction with his destiny to suffer and die upon the cross, that him being Messiah is wound up with him being the suffering servant, that otherwise the people would think that he's the Messiah based on the popular idea of the time, that he would be this political Messiah, free them from the ruling times of the Romans, and establish again that earthly kingdom, not the heavenly kingdom that he's actually come to bring about. Now you can think of this, that back at the end of July, we heard in John's gospel that the people wanted to take him away and make them the king. That this is what he's trying to avoid. This is not what him being Messiah is all about. That he came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life up as a ransom for many. And so we can see that Jesus doesn't want to mobilize the crowd of people around him. to politically rally around him as the Messiah who would solve all of their problems. That Jesus wants to insist that the extraordinary miracles that he does in his ministry are only signs to a deeper truth. That Jesus' concern is truly and only about a real transformation of the hearts of the people that happens without force or seduction. That he wants our own response to be for him spontaneous and deep. That this is the authentic manner in which he is calling us to. During baptism, part of the rite following the baptism and explaining what has taken place is called the Ephphatha, where I touch the baby's ears and mouth, saying, "The Lord Jesus Christ made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." That the Lord touches our ears with his word every time the scriptures are read, and our mouths proclaim the faith every time we recite the creed. And apart from the grace of God, we are deaf to the word of life spoken to us by the Creator, by Jesus. And that in baptism, Jesus gives us the capacity to hear the life-giving word, which he then speaks to us in the scriptures as proclaimed by the church here at Mass, at the other liturgies. That having heard that word in the context of our own personal life experience, we then can turn to praise God and share what we have discovered with our fellow believers. Our ears are opened and our tongues are loosened for full participation with the community of faith. And receiving his word is more than just hearing his word, because now that we have heard, he goes and expects a response from us. The purpose of faith is to empower us to love and serve God in this life so as to be happy with him forever in the next. But we will only achieve this purpose when we go and roll up our sleeves and place our whole selves at his service, that we don't leave anything behind, that it can feel safer perhaps to hold back, to not respond, because responding requires sacrifice of ourselves, it requires growth in ourselves, it requires change, and we all do not like change. We all hate change. And so we feel safer locked up with what is familiar, even if it's not taking us where we need to go. So why not just do the minimum? Well, for one thing, we see in scriptures, it goes and says, with the measure you measure, it shall be measured back to you. Doing only the minimum, and you can only then expect the minimum back from God in return. And besides, what makes us think that we know what the minimum is anyways? It's taking a great risk in trying just to do the minimum, of risking our salvation. That Jesus goes and gives his whole self to us on the cross, as we can see above us. And that the only appropriate response for us is to give our whole selves back to him in return. That the maximum response on our part to his maximum gift of self is ourselves. That anything less than a full response to the one who gave his whole life to us is sort of an insult, don't you think? That I wouldn't want to have to defend mediocrity before the judgment seat of God. That sins of omission, things we fail to do, God knows what he's given us, and that it's from that that he expects a return. That Jesus said in today's gospel, "Ephphatha, be opened." So what about us? Do we help others speak? Do we help others hear the word of God? Do we help teach others their prayers, our children their prayers, their faith, how to speak about their faith to others? Do we direct others in our lives to God? Do they know that we are Christian, that we believe in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit and God the Father. If the early followers of Jesus recognized that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies, do we recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, that we have been saved by his saving act? That Jesus doesn't go about saying, "I am God, listen to me." He doesn't do that. Rather, Jesus goes about doing works that proclaim he is God. So let us listen to him and open the mouths of others and help them see. Let us follow the example of the saints and martyrs. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Perhaps you've heard that saying before. It's written by one of the church fathers, Tertullian. And this sentence doesn't sadistically justify the suffering of the Christians. In fact, Tertullian uses this expression in his apology that he writes to the Roman governor defending Christians. That he goes and says, "The oftener we are mowed down by you, the more in number we grow. The blood of Christians is the seed. That is through our suffering, uniting our suffering to Christ on the cross, that we witness to others the greatness of our faith, the love and the mercy, the personal encounter that we have that other religions do not have." I can think that today we're kind of going through a soft persecution, that we're not experiencing the persecution that the early martyrs experienced, but still we're suffering a persecution of an indifference to Christianity, of that this is a contemporary form of persecution, that there are those who just look to knock the church down, to point out its many faults, that yes, we are human, but we are still a divine church. And so do we proudly stand up and say that we're Catholic to these people, to point to our faith in Christ Jesus? Or do we simply try to escape away, to just let it slip by, to miss that opportunity to witness to our faith? That every morning when I get up and I'm getting dressed, I remind myself as I'm putting on the collar that I am putting on Christ, that I am publicly witnessing to the faith, that Jesus Christ is my God, that he is my Savior, and that I want other people to know about his love, about who he is, that I'm not ashamed of being a priest. Now, it can seem, though, at times in this world, in our country, that God is distant and that he's kind of let us alone adrift without him guiding us. But this gospel is a great reminder and a lesson of how to look for God, to look on God. That in our minds, our hearts, our devotions, we can go and place this great distance between us and God, while the scriptures show us how close God is, that we see him have this personal encounter with the man, and that this is the personal encounter he has with us as we receive communion, that Jesus comes into our very souls, that he desires to reach out and touch us, whether it's to heal us of some infirmity, to comfort us in a time of sorrow, or to forgive us when we sin against him. And when we turn our hearts and minds, our lives to God, we already receive more, far more than what we expect. And so it's through our witness to Christ Jesus in this time, dark as it may be, that we can plant more seeds of the church, that we can come to grow closer to Christ and have that personal encounter, that we can hear Christ say, "Ephphatha, be opened."